You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hi, y'all. This is Joel Sharpton from ProPodcastingSchool.com and ProPodcasting Services. Maybe you know me because I do the intro to this show. Mark managed to get sick this week and totally lost his voice, so I'm filling in for the intro to this episode. Welcome to Beyond Bourbon Street, episode number 47. The last show was all about exploring the North Shore of Lake Pontchartrain. Mark focused on outdoor activities and had a really great discussion with Chad Almquist and Matt May over at Canoe and Trail Adventures. If you haven't listened to it, go check it out. They talked about Cane Bayou, Fountain Blue State Park, Big Branch Wildlife Refuge, the Tammany Trace, and a whole lot more. It's an absolutely wonderful episode. If you missed it, go back and enjoy it. I'm sure you're going to. Even if you're not super interested in paddling, by the way, they talk about places to eat and drink and things to do that'll be a lot of fun for locals or visitors. Today's show, though, is all about things to do in New Orleans for Halloween. The idea for this episode came from several listener requests, actually. The idea was posted on the Beyond Bourbon Street Facebook group, which you can find at beyondbourbonst.com/Facebook. Mark is joined today by two guys who you'll meet in just a moment. One owns the Haunted Histories Tours Company, while the other is the founder of a carnival-style Halloween parade, the Crew of Boo. The three of them talk about the many ways to celebrate Halloween in New Orleans. Okay, let's jump in.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the show. I have two guests today. The first is a member of the first family of the New Orleans Float Builders, and we'll hear all about him in a little bit. He's a creator and founder of the Crew of Boo, which is a carnival-style Halloween parade that we're going to talk about today. Welcome to the show, Brian Kern.
Thanks for having me on.
Sure. And our second guest today started a tour company years ago, and we're going to hear about that as well. It's focused on sort of the darker side of New Orleans. And by darker, I mean haunted history, including voodoos, ghosts, and the paranormal. He is the owner and president of Haunted History Tours. Welcome to the show, Sydney Smith.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I really appreciate you guys taking the time to join us here in Beyond Bourbon Street today. You and I, Brian, were talking a few weeks ago, and I got a request from a listener about what is there to do in New Orleans at Halloween. And so I'm biased. My kids were born on Halloween. But as you and I started talking, not only is there the Crew of Boo, but there's so much to do. And so what we're going to do in the next 45 minutes or so is talk with Sydney and Brian about their two interests and their projects, but also just kind of give you an overview of why you might want to check out New Orleans around Halloween. Sounds good?
Sounds good.
Sounds great.
So first, you know, to me, Halloween's a natural fit because people think of New Orleans. They think of voodoo. They think of haunted history. They think of the cemeteries. Maybe they think of Anne Rice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, besides the haunted history tours, which I want to get into and you guys offer all year long, that seems like a perfect match as you head into Halloween. And then, Brian, you guys have the Crew of Boo, which is about a week and a half before Halloween itself this year. Is that right?
Correct. It's always the weekend before Voodoo Fest. A lot of people, when I first started the parade, wanted it to be on Halloween night.
Right.
However, people are trick-or-treating with their kids. And in New Orleans, I mean, we'll celebrate Halloween in September if there's a parade. So I figure going the week before Voodoo, it doesn't stress out the city services. It's a whole weekend full of events, and I'm not competing against Voodoo Fest.
Sure, makes great sense. And that's kind of a good segue into sort of how has Halloween grown over the years? It seems to me, certainly post-Katrina, but probably even before, New Orleans had really become a destination for Halloween.
Oh, I think New Orleans not only is a destination for Halloween, it's almost rivaling Mardi Gras as far as it's become a real adult holiday. That's what it is. It's in the French Quarter anyway. It's become a real adult holiday. You know, people are dressing up or dressing down, and it's just a wild and crazy time on the streets.
It is definitely certainly in the French Quarter, with the exception of the Crew of Boo, which we'll get into. I think is certainly in more of an adult oriented. Well, like mm-hmm. Mardi Gras is in the French Quarter,
sure.
Right on Mardi Gras Day. But you have the costume contest. You have the big party over on Frenchman Street in the Marigny.
It's always fun, yeah.
Well, Frenchman Street's packed to the gills. I mean, it's like, you know, wall to wall people on Frenchman Street.
And then you have, much like Mardi Gras, you have the the LGBTQ community with a big, big, I guess, costume contest party. Yeah. I think it's over at like Bourbon and St. Anne.
Halloween New Orleans stages the, I guess it's a fundraising event for Project Lazarus.
Okay.
And they're actually doing their party this year on the Saturday night of the crew booth, same night, Saturday, October 21st. In years past, it's always been same weekend as like Voodoo or the Saturday before Halloween. But this year they're doing it at the same weekend. And so it's good. There's a lot of stuff going on in New Orleans the weekend of the parade.
Right. So that's a good segue. So if you were to come in town, you could easily spend a whole week here and do all kinds of things. But let's use that as an opportunity to talk about the parade. So the Crew of Boo, how'd you get the idea for it, Brian?
Well, actually, my father founded the crew, and it was called the Crew of Halloween originally. Founded it in 2007, and it rolled. First year was 2008. So this is kind of our 10th anniversary coming up, and it didn't roll for 2 years, and I picked it up in 2013. Saw that my father wasn't going to do it anymore, so I figured it would be something fun to start. Actually, I went to a parade that year, a Mardi Gras parade, and I'm looking at all the beads on the ground, all the debris, and I'm going, you know, it'd be nice to actually have a parade and throw primarily locally made items. And that was my idea, was to try to do a greener parade. It's worked to a certain extent, but people still clamor for beads. So, but I started off that first year throwing a lot of handmade items made locally. Aunt Sally's miniature pralines, Ilmer's chiwis, PJ's has been a supporter since the beginning, and we throw little 2.5-ounce frack packs of coffee. So it's great stuff. We have cups that are made by Giacona, and everybody, every pantry, every cupboard in New Orleans has, throw cups in it. So, and we're the only city, you know, where you can actually walk around with your cocktails, and
right.
Which is nice. So those throw cups get picked up. Everybody has them. So, and we throw beads and we do some lighted items. But so the parade, I took it over in 2013. And it's now, this is going to be my 5th year coming up, and things have actually exploded. I have close to 400 riding members. That first year, I had a little bit under 200. So now people, and a lot of people coming in from out of town, and everybody that's ridden in previous years, they're inviting friends, they're bringing more people in, so that's the growth in the crew.
That's great. So let's break that down a little bit. I sort of buried it when we started, but your name, of course, is Brian Kern. You mentioned your dad.
Yes.
Your dad is in New Orleans circles, Mr. Mardi Gras.
Yep.
Your family's been building Mardi Gras style floats for, gosh.
My grandfather, Roy Kern, started in 1932. He did the first Ala Parade, built the floats on sanitation wagons. They maybe held, I don't know, 8-10 people at most, and they were pulled by mules, and it was the same sanitation wagons they used to pick up the trash in Algiers. And so my father grew up with his dad. He was born in 1927. My grandfather was a sign painter, hence that's how he got the first parade, built the floats. So my dad grew up sign painting as a kid. After World War II, returns back to New Orleans, and Dr. LaRocca was that captain of the Crew of Ala. Asked my dad to paint a mural on the hospital wall, and he did, and he liked it, and he gave him his contract to do the Ala Parade in 1947, and the business grew from there. And then my dad, after Katrina, wanted to start something new, something different, and thought Halloween would be a perfect fit, and he came up with the idea, and it took off. First year was great, rolling through the quarter. But it kind of sputtered. He's turning 90. Well, he just turned 90 years old, and I'm honoring him as King of the Crew of Boo this year. He was calling me up and going, you know, Edwin Edwards just turned 90. Tom Benson turned 90. They both had big parties, and he was kind of jealous, and he wanted a big party. So I'm honoring him as King this year, and at the after party at Generations Hall, we're going to have a birthday cake, and you know, we'll hopefully have several thousand people there. So it'll be a big party, bigger than Tom Benson's and Edwin Edwards.
Is that the goal?
That's the goal. Yeah, my dad, you know. Right. Yeah, everything's got to be bigger and larger and better, you know.
So we were talking about your dad, and the goal here is to have a celebration bigger than Mr. Benson's and Governor Edwards. So hopefully that works out for you.
Yeah.
But as we were talking about, at some point we'll do a separate show on kind of the history of your family and the float building tradition. But it certainly seems natural that you guys would continue that and interesting that your dad would want to kind of take the carnival style and bring it into the fall and into Halloween. The parade is similar to a Mardi Gras parade in that you're using carnival floats. You're
carnival floats. Style floats themed Halloween, and they're smaller. They're double decks, which was the norm back in the day, and now everything's super floats that hold, you know, 40, 50 riders. These are double-deck floats, hold 30 riders, all Halloween theme. We also have all the, you know, the great marching groups that came about after Katrina. Everybody wanted to get involved in carnival, and so you had like the 6'10 Stompers, the Bearded Oysters, the Pussyfooters, the Rolling Elvi. The Rolling Elvi are actually the Rotting Elvi in my parade. The Muffalatas, the Moldy Muffalatas, they all do Halloween-themed costuming for the parade. So we have about 25 marching groups, some high school bands.
One of the things that makes you guys unique compared to the Mardi Gras parades of modern times is you go through the quarter.
Yeah,
right?
There are no parades with large floats to get to go through the quarter. But we're on the outskirts. We start down in the Marigny on Elysian Fields in Decatur, go in front of the French Market, St. Louis Cathedral, down the canal, up canal, U-turn at Burgundy, down to Chapultepec, and then, you know, past all the restaurants, bars, and end at Andrew Higgins at Generations Hall this year.
So down there right by the World War II Museum.
Yes.
But that's a great thing because, and in part your dad, I think, was responsible for that. The floats got so big back in the early 70s with Bacchus and Endymion that they could no longer go through the quarter.
Yeah. Bacchus, stories in the day, they would go through the quarter, and the first year they built these floats, they didn't realize they weren't going to be able to negotiate the turns. So they had jacks, pallet jacks on wheels, and they would get up, get underneath the back of the float, jack it up, and push it to make the turns.
Wow. So you're right. Well, it doesn't go through. Yeah. I mean, it goes through the heart of the quarter. It doesn't weave in and out.
Right, right.
But certainly if you're here for the parade, whether you're a local or you're coming in from out of town, it's a great opportunity to see something that, with the exception really of St. Patrick's Day, parades don't go through the French Quarter anymore. So you got
your, and the view from the float is spectacular. I mean, as a rider and seeing the crowds and, you know, all the beautiful architecture, it's pretty spectacular.
So, and you mentioned the riders. Are the riders masked and wear costumes similar to carnival, or is that a little bit different?
Well, what I wanted to do and what I thought would work best, rather than having everybody in the same float costume, I let all my riders come dressed however they like, and I hire a makeup artist, and we actually enhance their look, put makeup on. Everybody's got sort of a mask. It's a painted mask.
Right.
And they ride on the floats, and you know, when you get off at the end of the parade and you have your party, everybody's in Halloween costume.
Sure.
It looks great. It's makes a much better visual than
right.
just the same, you know, costume.
Yeah, and again, what I love about it is there's a nice, clearly, you know, as a New Orleanian that it's got carnival in its roots, but there's also a little bit different. You know, one of the things you and I were talking about a couple weeks ago is that your organization, some of the floats can be sponsored commercially, right? Which
Correct.
Is different. And I didn't understand that till you were telling me that it is very specific to the carnival season about the sponsorship. Is
Correct,
that right?
Yeah. You can't have any corporately sponsored floats in carnival. It would kind of change the composition of what we have. What makes Mardi Gras carnival great in the city is that it's not corporately sponsored and commercial. However, I knowing that and growing up and being cognizant that, you know, I don't want to have a super commercial parade, so I
right.
try to work with local brands and do things tastefully. Still have a like Sydney has a haunted history float in the parade. The float is painted like a French Quarter theme with a skull on the front with a top hat, and it has a signage on the side, but it's tastefully done. It's promoting a local product, and it looks good. It's not
yeah.
it's not pushing the envelope. It's not like a big Coke float coming down the
right.
street. It's
well, and I remember, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, there was a Pat O'Brien's float.
Yes.
Right, and so it's a neat, it's just an interesting twist to have the commercial aspect, but have it feel very New Orleans. And they're throwing, you mentioned some of the products before, Elmer's. Elmer's
yeah.
is a local brand. You're
yeah.
familiar nationally with Cheetos, and Elmer's
yeah.
is a better sure, yeah. local version. It has a completely different feel. It's not just like sort of a generic logo of a national company there. And so I think that's what I really enjoy, that clearly it feels like a Mardi Gras parade with a twist. And that's the whole thing, right? It's a different time of year. And I want to come back and sort of talk about some of the other events in the after party as well, but I also want to pull Sydney in here a little bit.
Here I am.
So Sydney, among other things, you created this haunted history tour.
Yeah. I mean, New Orleans is considered to be the most haunted city in the country, and there are several reasons for that, but we've had a heavy concentration of death in a relatively small area over a short period of time, and we're a city filled with tragic events. I mean, the earliest French settlers, if you want a little history here, I mean, the earliest French settlers were warned by the Indians not to build a city here. I mean, the area was cursed. Basically violent death and strong emotion contribute to ghostly or paranormal activity. And we've had no shortage of that here. They say, rest in peace, but what if you can't? What if you can't rest in peace? And that is the basis of haunted history tours. We have actually several different tours we do. We have the ghost tour, the vampire tour, the cemetery tour, the voodoo tour. We have a tour called the 5-in-1 tour, which encompasses a little bit of everything. We have a haunted pub crawl. We have just a variety of tours. We have 9 different tours now, including at night a haunted graveyard and ghost bus tour, because most of our other tours were walking tours, and we just started this recently and it's become successful. The tours are a big deal here. Haunted history has become we've spawned a ton of imitators too. I mean, you know, we originally we were it.
When did you start the company?
22, 23 years ago. Over the years, you know, they've come and gone, but there are a ton of imitators now.
What was the first type of tour that you had?
The ghost tour.
The ghost
tour. Because that's you know, New Orleans, like I say, is considered to be the most haunted city in the country. So the ghost tour. And quite honestly, we encourage people to bring their cameras on our tour, because I'd say 90% of people take pictures. You will catch something in your photos that wasn't there when you took the picture.
And do those tours, they start in the French Quarter?
They do. Most of our tours start in front of a voodoo shop. It's called Reverend Zombie's Voodoo Shop. It's located at 723 St. Peter Street in the French Quarter, right across from Pat O'Brien's bar, yes, as a matter of fact, in the heart of the French Quarter. And the tours are within the French Quarter. We have some tours in the Garden District, too. We have a ghost tour of the Garden District and a regular tour of the Garden District. But the ghost tour is probably the most popular. It's the flagship tour of the company. And the vampire tour is also very popular. The cemetery tour. I mean, they're all popular.
And so you guys offer those tours 7 days a week?
7 days a week, 364 days a year, because Mardi Gras Day is the only day we don't deliver the tours.
It'd be a little tough to do a tour.
It's impossible to do. You can't walk the streets.
And I should have mentioned, I'll put all the information about everything we talk about today, but certainly the Kurubu and the Haunted History Tours, over on our website at beyondbourbonst.com. This will be show 47, so you guys can find it. Instead of taking notes furiously as you're listening, it'll be at beyondbourbonst.com/47. But you can find the Haunted History Tours over at hauntedhistorytours.com.
Hauntedhistorytours.com is where you need to go for all the information. And it's best to book the tours through our website, because they sell out. And if you book them online, you're guaranteed a spot on the tour.
Sure. Yeah. How big are the tours? How many people are on them on average?
We max them out at 28 people per guide. But that doesn't mean, if you have a group of 50 people, you come to New Orleans, we'll split that group up in two. You know, I mean, we've dealt with large convention groups. Hundreds of people actually at once.
Sure.
We have a multitude of tour guides, all excellent, very animated tour guides, all with theatrical or acting experience. You know, it's really street theater is
sure.
What we're doing, because it's not a boring tour by any means. I mean, we want people to walk away with a wow experience, and 9 times out of 10 they do. Well, I'd say 10 times out of 10 they do. Every once in a blue moon you find somebody who doesn't have that wow experience. But between the fact that people take photos on the tours and they pick up things in their photos that weren't there, it's amazing.
Sure. So, you know, again, if you're listening, you're thinking about coming to New Orleans for Halloween or any time of the year, obviously you can take one of Sydney's tours throughout the year. But if you're going to come in and sort of think about getting geared up for Halloween, it's a great match. So you come in and you could see you could take part in the Kurubu. And we should have mentioned that. People can actually join the organization and ride in the parade if they want. Is that right, Brian?
Yeah, more than half our members are from outside New Orleans. A lot of people, I guess several years ago, friend. He's now become a friend. He came in. He and his girlfriend rode. Last year they brought four other people with them. This year they've got a group of 20 riding. So they enjoyed it so much. Now they're bringing in people. So, and they're all from out of town. But they're coming. They're actually coming in on Thursday before the parade, staying all the way through Voodoo Fest weekend. And the goal is to fill up the week between the Crew of Boo parade and Voodoo with other Halloween-themed events. And there's a group out of California, they put on Scream Fest, which is a Halloween horror film festival. And they're coming in this year. They end on the 19th, and they're flying in. They're going to come in on the 20th. And they want to bring a film this year to screen at one of the theaters. And next year, hopefully, we'll have like 5 or 6 days of Halloween horror films playing throughout the city.
That's great. You and I were talking about some different ideas on that when we were preparing for the show. And then also this year, you guys are adding something different associated with the Crew of Boo, and that's going to be a foot race, right?
Yeah, the morning of the parade, Saturday, October 21st, at 9 a.m. sharp, we're starting at Generations Hall, and we're going through the French Quarter, kind of a reverse parade route without going up Canal, and we're going to end on Frenchman Street. But everybody's come, they're supposed to come, as a zombie or their favorite monster, and I have the Big Easy Roller Girls. They're dressing up like zombie hunters. It's a little bit different because the zombie hunters are going to be chasing the zombies rather than the other, but it all works. New Orleans, right. I think people will get over that. It's doing really well. Started registration about 3 weeks ago, and a lot of people have signed up. Yeah, it's going to be the first of, I hope, many years to come, and this grows into one of those events that everybody, you know, like the Red Dress Run or the
sure.
the Running of the Bulls and the same thing. But day of the parade, plan on having it every year from now on. So
honestly, the first year I rode, I was totally amazed at how many people were out there. I thought it was going to be, because it's not Mardi Gras, thought it was going to be, you know, just a, you know, a few people on the street. I was blown away.
And I just think, again, it's a different twist. If you've never been to Mardi Gras and you come for Halloween, you will walk away with at least a taste of what Mardi Gras is like. Again, the floats are a little bit smaller, but some floats in carnival parades are smaller. So it's not, you know, it's not completely scaled down, but you get the sense of the throws. I love the idea of the local products, and I know that that's been a challenge. You and I have talked about that, and people expect some trinkets, they expect the beads and things. But for locals, it just, you know, this show, the tagline of the show is an insider's guide to New Orleans, and that feels very insider, because if you are a local, you go to the parade and you catch some local things. It's like, that's interesting.
Quality over quantity, you know. I think we've gotten in most of the carnival parades, there people are buying a lot of the beads. People don't even pick them up. I'd rather someone go to the parade, pick up take three or four things home with you that you can actually use or consume.
Like some haunted history cups.
Yeah. So Sydney has a float in the parade, been supportive of the parade since my first year, doing it since 2013. Yeah, you've seen every year the crowds have gotten bigger. Last year, I was literally, when I hit Canal Street, I'm getting goosebumps right now talking about the amount of people out there. It was like Mardi Gras. It was like, you know, like for one of the big crews.
It really was,
it was just an incredible feeling seeing that many people out there supporting the parade. And this year we have, you know, a lot of big, great news. WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, they're doing WrestleMania 34 here in New Orleans in April of next year. And they have two of their superstars, The Miz and Maurice, spelled M-A-R-Y-S-E. They're a husband and wife couple. She's a female wrestler. He's a male wrestler. And they're coming and they're riding in the parade this year. And they've got a huge following. And last year, the Jack Reacher movie with Tom Cruise that was filmed here, the final fight scene in the parade took place in the Crew of Boo parade. They filmed the parade the night of, and then in December they used five of the floats and a lot of the marching groups and restaged the shot. But it looked really nice on film, but you know, that was seen, you know, by a lot of people. But New Orleans, for Halloween, I think people around the country now know, and we have to, as New Orleanians, we have to keep adding to it and make it like Mardi Gras started off, it's one day, and now it's 12 days of parade starting that two Fridays before. People can come in, pretty much catch a parade on any night our day, except for a few nights, but not. Right. But for the
but
most
it's filling
part,
up. It's,
yeah, yeah. There's stuff going on, and I'd like the same thing to take place with Halloween in New Orleans, starting with my parade, kicking it off. Friday, I do a celebrity luncheon at Broussard's. Not a celebrity, but the Royal Luncheon, which will honor...
Well, I'm there, so I'm
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Sydney will be there. It will honor my father's the king. He'll be there. And then we also have Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon, former Saints quarterback. He's going to be a celebrity rider in the parade this year. And that starts on Friday. We have that event. We do a second line through the quarter. Then we have a big party at Pat O'Brien's. It's open to the public from 3 to 6. And then later that night, our captain's ball. So I'm trying to, you know, create new events, an experience for people coming in from out of town to, you know, have things to do. And then Sunday, I don't have anything planned because we have Po' Boy Festival on Sunday.
That's right.
So what a great weekend to come into New Orleans, experience, you know, Halloween.
Haunted history tours.
Haunted history tours, good food.
And that was why I was excited to get both of you guys on, because now, again, we're talking about 10 days before, so the weekend before
right.
Halloween this year. But you could come in and enjoy all the festivities surrounding the Crew of Boo. You could, if you're a runner or you're just looking for an excuse to not feel so guilty about all the beignets you're going to eat, you can do the two-mile run with a costume during the week or the weekend. You can certainly take one or more tours with haunted history tours. And then as you lead into the next week, and we're going to circle back on things to do during that week, but then you hit the Voodoo Music and Arts Experience. And so, by the way, the first two episodes that we did of the podcast nearly 2 years ago were about 10 things to do in the fall. And so we talked about some of these events. We talked about the Crew of Boo. We talked about Voodoo Festival. We talked about the Po' Boy Festival. So go back and give those a listen. Again, they were episodes 1 and 2 of Beyond Bourbon Street. But that second weekend, or the weekend of Halloween, you get into the Voodoo Festival, which is a 3-day, they build themselves as a music and arts experience. It's out in City Park, right along Bayou St. John, we were talking about. You have all kinds of music. This year, the Foo Fighters are playing, the Killers. I think it's 4 or 5 stages. You have the New Orleans food that you would expect at the booth, but they have really great art, everything from local artists to these really sort of immersive, large-scale art installations there. You can buy, I don't know if you can buy a single-day ticket, but you can buy a weekend pass. And so that's something to check out. It's the Voodoo, I think it's called, what's the website? I should have had that ready. I think it's worshipthemusic.com.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
And so you can check that out, and we'll put links on our website. But that's a good bookend on the other side of the... Yeah.
And one of our one of the sponsors in the parade, the Mortuary on Canal Street, the Haunted House, which is, if you've not been to it, it's absolutely, it's I'm not a big guy. I like them, but I don't like them. This is one where you walk through. It kind of gives you the creeps.
Yep.
Throughout the year, he rents out. He has escape rooms where you can get 6-8 people, and you actually go into these rooms and you have to escape from them. And they've got all this great special effects. He's done a wonderful job, Jeff Bourne over there. But he at Voodoo, he sets up a large outdoor, you know, cemetery scene. I mean, it's absolutely spectacular. It looks really good. So he's been actively involved in the parade. He calls it the Deuce. It's an old World War II vehicle that he fills, has screens on the side, but behind it has zombies, and he does great makeup, and they actually march in the parade, these zombies, and they look awesome. Really, really great-looking stuff.
That's cool, and I hadn't even thought about the mortuary. So that's on Canal Street as you head out away from downtown. You head out towards Canal Street becomes Canal Boulevard as you're heading out towards Lake Pontchartrain, and it's right before there. You can take the streetcar.
Haunted History Tours a few years ago had a television show called Haunted New Orleans. The mortuary is one of those places we investigated. We did actually a paranormal investigation of the mortuary and found it to be very haunted in real life. It is very haunted. I mean, the place has a long history to it, and it's right next to a cemetery on top
right.
of that. But, you know, so yeah, I can verify the mortuary is a haunted location for sure. But we don't go to it on our tour because it's not in the French Quarter. So, and we cover the places that we go to primarily are in the French Quarter. You know, we go to a lot of stories. There's no shortage.
Well, and you had mentioned one of the things that you guys have done, again, having been in business for 2 decades, you guys have a book called The New Orleans Ghost, New Orleans Ghost, Voodoo, and Vampires, Journey into Darkness, that was written by Kalila Smith,
yep,
who happens to be here. I don't know if you want to hop on, Kalila, but one of the things that I was curious about, or maybe one or two of the things that people are most interested in, you know, when you're on the tours, are the questions that you get, maybe like the LaLaurie Mansion?
Next to the Myrtle's Plantation in St. Francisville, probably the LaLaurie Mansion is the most popular ghost story out there. We've had over 1,000 faintings on our tour at the LaLaurie Mansion. I mean, when it first happened, I thought somebody was just playing a joke on us, but it's happened over and over and over again. And you know, people drink in the French Quarter, they don't maybe have enough to eat, maybe it's too hot, but to be happening at the same place, it's not just that we've had 1,000 faintings on our tour, it's happening at the same place. Now, the LaLaurie Mansion is also the site of American Horror Story last year. They fictionalized everything with Marie Laveau and Madame LaLaurie and all that stuff for the show. But in real life, the LaLaurie Mansion is very, very, very haunted.
Kalila, would you mind stepping in for a moment? I know we hadn't talked about that, but could you maybe for the listeners just, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Hi.
Can we just talk a little bit about what is the LaLaurie Mansion? Where is it? Why is it so special in New Orleans lore?
The LaLaurie Mansion is located on the corner of Governor Nichols and Royal Street. It is the location of where Madame Delphine LaLaurie lived with her husband, Dr. Louis LaLaurie, back in the 1830s. And it was in 1834. But the year before, she had a little incident where she was preparing for a soiree. She was up in her boudoir. She's preparing for a party. She had a little slave girl combing her hair. And this little girl accidentally pulled a tangle. Madame LaLaurie, in a fit of rage, grabbed a bullwhip and proceeded to beat this child over and over again. And as the story goes, the little girl wound up running out onto a balcony. And she climbed up onto the balcony railing, not thinking, and lost her footing and fell down to the courtyard below. Well, of course, Madame LaLaurie was brought before the courts for the child's death. But because she was who she was, rubbing elbows with all the upper echelon in the city, she, of course, was given a very light sentence. I think it was a $300 fine. And the incident was swept aside until April 10th of 1834, when a fire broke out in the LaLaurie home. And this is when it was discovered that they actually had slaves who were chained in the attic. And they had been beaten, mutilated. Some of them even had looked like they were the victims of some sort of crude medical experiments that were possibly conducted by Dr. LaLaurie. And once this was discovered, the LaLauries somehow mysteriously disappeared in the night. Nobody knows really what happened to them. It's suspected that they found their way to the riverbanks, jumped ship, and wound up on the North Shore, and eventually made their way back to Paris. But since then, it has been known as the haunted house. Immediately, people swore that they could hear screams and cries coming from within the walls of this place. The house actually remained vacant for the next 40 years and eventually became the home to Italian immigrants. And it became a tenement during the late 1800s, early 1900s, it was kind of like Little Sicily down there. So we had numerous families sharing the home, and these people would give newspaper interviews talking about seeing the ghost of the LaLaurie Mansion. They would see this woman coming down the hall screaming at them in French. They would see the ghost of a little girl wandering and falling over the edge of a balcony. We actually knew people who grew up in the house. And one of my favorite stories was this woman who grew up in the house. She grew up in one of the apartments in the back. And she told us when she was a little girl, she was walking with her father from Esplanade Avenue down Royal Street. And she looked up at the house and she asked her dad, "Why does that little girl get to sit up there with her feet hanging over the edge?" And she said she used to see a little girl up on the roof with her feet just kind of dangling. It's kind of creepy.
That is a little, more than a little creepy.
But they still have a lot of energy. And Sydney was talking about the people who faint there, and we won't tell you where it is, but actually it's largely due to the residual energy. Because imagine all of those people on the night of the incident, what were they feeling when they were watching these atrocities? The fear, the anger, you know, people no doubt fainting, people no doubt getting sick, and it's left a large residual around the house. So anywhere you go around the house, you're going to have some sort of activity.
And so that's one of the many things that people will learn if they come on the tours, on the Haunted History tours.
Yes, that is one of the locations that we do go to on the Ghost and Legends tour. We go to several locations, and we do include a break inside a haunted bar.
Very nice. It's always nice to take a break inside New Orleans Bar. And again, we'll put some links to it over at beyondbourbonst.com/47. But you guys have written a book, or you've written a book.
I have written a book. It's called New Orleans Ghosts, Voodoo, and Vampires. And it is an account of all of the paranormal investigations that I conducted over the last 22 years in and around New Orleans, the basis of our haunted tour, and a lot of the history behind our voodoo tour and the vampire tour.
So it's a great way, until you get the opportunity to come to New Orleans to go to the tour, it'd be a great way to sort of prepare, or even something to take away, and a great souvenir and sort of a history.
That's exactly right. We often sell the book at the end of the tour, or at least offer it to people. They can take home the history. We've documented the names, the addresses, the locations, where we got our information, so you know it's not all BS.
Sure. Yeah. So again, we'll put a link to that over on the show
great.
Notes. But
Thank
I
you.
Really appreciate you dropping in.
Thank
for
you for inviting me. Appreciate it.
Hey, you know, it's sort of hard. We go from a very serious and sort of strange story and part of our history in New Orleans, and then we sort of swing back to kind of fun things to do. As you were talking earlier, Brian, about, you know, coming to New Orleans and joining the Crew of Boo, one of the things that you might need when you come to New Orleans for Halloween are costumes, of course. And I can't think of a better place in the country, with a possible exception, although I don't agree, in Hollywood, right? We, because of our infrastructure of carnival, we have fabulous costume shops here.
Yeah, we really do. There's Carl Mack is one of them. He has a lot of costumes. My favorite is Southern Costume Company.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You can go in there and find just about anything, and it's I've gone there several times, rented costumes. Costume, you think I would be like used to doing. I'm a guy. I really don't enjoy the whole costume. I like it, but I need someone to prepare it for me, you know. But it's nice to go in there and they can find stuff, and it's great. So, and the nice thing about the parade too is if you do ride in it, you can come in anything you like, you know.
You can be as creative as you want or as simple as you want.
Exactly. Our after party, we'll have several thousand people all in great costumes, and that to me is like, it's an added value when you're at a party.
Right.
Just you can literally sit in a spot with a drink and just watch people walk by all evening and never get bored.
And I think that's similar to a lot of the big Mardi Gras parades have after parties that the public is invited to. You buy a ticket and you go, and you can dress up. A lot of those are formal affairs.
Yes.
So, you know, if you're a rider in Endymion, a very large, or Bacchus, both of those are large Mardi Gras parades, all male parades. If you're a rider, you get to step off and you're in your costume. If you go as a guest, you're wearing formal wear.
Yeah.
Whereas the party that you guys have, you can come in costume, right? You can wear essentially anything you want.
Yes, yes. And we want everybody to come costume to the after party. It just makes it more fun. And the nice thing when you do put the costume on, a little makeup, nobody really knows who you
Absolutely.
Are. You can have a little bit more fun than you probably usually would.
Which sort of gets to sort of some of the tracing of the history of Carnival and Mardi Gras back in the Italian days, and sort of the mystery about that, right? And I'll put a link to several of my favorite costume companies, but you mentioned Southern Costume. They're amazing in the sense that they're professionals. So there are other places. There's a couple places that I go to get sort of less expensive costumes to run up and down the street at Halloween with the kids, for instance, or Mardi Gras morning. But Southern Costume often outfits a lot of the movie sets.
Right.
And you can go there and just have an idea. For Mardi Gras this year, the kids wanted to be, I have 5-year-old twins, longtime listeners know, and the kids wanted to be Oompa Loompas, and they wanted Dad to be Willy Wonka, because they had just discovered the original Willy Wonka movie. So I couldn't find sort of anything I wanted. I went to Southern Costume and walked in and said, I want to be Willy Wonka. And they pieced together a custom suit of just things they had. And they were fabulous. And the costume just looked amazing. And it was so much fun. And it was a one-off unique because they pulled together the different things they had. And so that's a fun place. But again, there's a bunch of them. There's New Orleans Party and Costume. There's the Funky Monkey on Magazine, which is not a costume shop. It's like a vintage clothing. But they have a great selection of wigs. And I bring this up because I get emails all the time, people saying, I'm thinking about coming to New Orleans for Mardi Gras next year. Where do I get a costume? Should I buy one ahead of time? And I always say, don't do that. We have some of the best costume shops and some of the most creative folks there. Come into New Orleans with an idea, or let somebody just outfit you. And I think that's another way to have so much fun as you're leading up to Halloween, you come in town. And then, you know, in that week in between, or the 2 weekends in between, you have the opportunity to take some tours, like with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
On the last episode, I interviewed the guys over at Canoe and Kayak Trail Adventures. I'm going to screw that up, but you can find it in episode 46. And you can go across the lake over to Cane Bayou and explore the bayou out there and go into Lake Pontchartrain. And so coming and staying for a whole week like that, sort of bookended by big events, if you will, with the parade and then the Voodoo Fest, it gives you the opportunity to really explore the city and get to do all kinds of things.
And you have absolutely, I think, the best weather. Coming out of the hot summer, just wonderful. And I think that's one of the reasons we get so many people out on the streets.
Yeah, the weather is great at the time of year.
Yeah, people want to, they want to be out. And,
right.
And we start right at dusk around 6:30. So it's a family-friendly parade. Last year, all the shops and the French Quarter stayed open late. The Saints are always playing the following day. And I always like to have, I have Bobby Hebert riding this year. Last year, Morten Andersen was king. And by the way, Morten Andersen was probably one of the best kings. Everywhere, talking to everybody, just fun, had a great time.
And Morten Andersen, now the Hall of Fame kicker.
Yes, yeah.
Long
and I'm hoping that he makes it back this year. He wants to come. He may be in, but I also have a good buddy of mine, Whistle Monster. I have the Saints super fans, some of the Popes, they ride in the parade and kind of make it a little, the goal of the parade is to be a pro New Orleans parade, throwing primarily New Orleans stuff and make people feel good about our community, our city. The Saints, hopefully by then have a couple of wins, first few games.
Yeah, as we record this, we're 0-2, it's not looking good, but.
But that's
still
the
time.
Saints. Anybody
Gotta
that's
believe.
Lived here, have seen the Saints go through this cycle. And
I did what you mentioned it before, and we kind of let it go. Is the Po' Boy Festival?
Right.
Is that Sunday morning or Sunday all day after the parade?
They used to, I guess. Last year was the first year they moved it into October. It had always been in November.
Right.
But I had approached them. I know, I hang out at the Maple Leaf, Giacomo's.
Oak Street. Yeah.
Yeah. You can always get great food. Go next door, listen to some great music. And, I told them, I said, I wanted to create another element for people to come in and visit and
sure.
do the parade. And I'm glad they're I think, hopefully, they'll have a space there. They want to be there every year on the Sunday after the parade.
So that's the Oak Street Po' Boy Festival. Again, I talked about that back in episode one, and we did an episode all about Carrollton and the River Bend. But that's a fabulous festival. It's a free festival. You go and you buy tickets, or you buy small portions of Po' Boys or big portions of Po' Boys. So that's an easy streetcar ride from the French Quarter or the Central Business District. Though, as you guys mentioned, October, at least locally, we tend to refer to October as the glorious month. If you actually look at it, it can sometimes still be in the upper 80s, but we tend to get some days that are much cooler and it's drier. And after a long, hot summer, even upper 80s sometimes feels good to us. The humidity drops a little bit. But that's such a fun day to go out, particularly if you go out early or late because it gets crowded. Oak Street's a pretty small street, but you go out there and enjoy just all kinds of great takes on Po' Boys. And then this being New Orleans is great music. And in the last couple of years, they've done a great job of putting stages sort of on the side streets that cross over the main street, Oak Street. So you can kind of take a left turn or a right turn and happen upon a stage while you're eating and drinking something and enjoying great New Orleans music. So that's a great pairing. If you're listening, you start to think about it, you could come in and easily make a 3-4 day weekend of it if you don't have a week and a half to take off and come hang out with us and do all sorts of things. But you could build a very full 4 day trip there, come in again, do a couple of tours, certainly eat your way across the city, take part in the Caribou, whether as a participant or a rider, maybe go to one of the parties. Sunday, go to the Po' Boy Festival. If you are a Saints fan, they always have a screen, a way to see the game. And if you're not interested, or if that by that point the season's not going so well,
you'll get indigestion. Yeah.
There's no shortage of things to do in New Orleans. I mean, somebody sneezes, they throw a festival.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we have over 200 festivals now, which is crazy. The weekend of my parade, there are a couple other festivals taking place. Same day, there's a mac and cheese festival, something new. And then the Couchon Festival, which is the Magazine Street blues festival, is now they're called the Couchon Festival, and it's taking place at Palmer Park that day.
Okay.
So there's stuff going on all throughout the city. Of course, I want people to come down and do the zombie run, go to Frenchman Street for Frenchman Fest. We'll have live music out there from 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., right before the parade. And then, of course, everybody needs to come out to the parade this
year. Of course.
And that starts at 6:30. And if you're literally on the streets from 6:30 to about 9 p.m.,
great.
And it's a great route and lots of places to watch. We're working with Lucy's this year. They put in a new balcony, and they're going to be selling like a VIP ticket up there with food, drink, where you can come and watch the parade and go by. And that whole area is packed with people between, you know, like from Barcadia all the way down past Emeralds. I mean, lots and lots of people on the streets.
And we're talking about there. That's in the heart of the Warehouse District. And you guys that are longtime listeners have heard me talk. That's such a great area to stay. There's so many great places to eat, hang out, have a drink. You're very close to Mardi Gras World, which we'll cover in another episode.
Yeah.
Something your family is involved in and owns that. But you have Compare Le Pen and the old 77. Really a great area. And you're near the, again, as you mentioned, near the end of the parade. So, you know, tends to be a little bit later, a little bit time to go do stuff earlier and really enjoy. By that point, the sun is definitely set and you're catching the lights and the display of the parade sort of at its fullest, I feel like, when the sun goes down. But that's a great area. And certainly Lucy's is a fun place to hang out. We have talked mostly about things that are probably adult-oriented, although, as Sydney pointed out, the tours, and there are plenty of things for kids. Two things did come to mind, again, as the dad of five-year-olds. The Louisiana Children's Museum usually has something related to Halloween for the kids, and also the zoo has
the
Boo at the Zoo, which is a really fun time, particularly for the little ones. They kind of have little door booths, if you will. You go up and the kids can knock and get some treats as they go. So that's a fun time. So you can sort of do that both ways. If you come in with families, you can certainly cater a weekend or a long weekend and be very family oriented. Most of the things we've just talked about, including the parade and the tours and all those things. And we actually did an episode about bringing kids to New Orleans. So you could certainly make it a family oriented event. On the other extreme, if you're looking for some adult fun, and you can go as crazy with that as you want, whether it's costumes and it's drinking and all sorts of things, I think you can take the sort of same set of events and really have a great time. You could potentially ride in a parade if you always wanted to do that and you want to come in for Halloween. Boy, that would be a great sort of getaway.
Just from my experience and growing up in, you know, Mardi Gras, I wanted to make that experience for my riders real easy. They just show up on Frenchman Street. We have a location where they meet. Everybody gets their makeup put on. We feed them. And they just walk in on the float. All their throws are already on the float. They ride, get off, and go to a great after party. And this year I booked, I was trying to find local acts, but everybody seemed to be booked on Saturday, October 21st. So my buddy, Robert Brunet, who has Amps Events, his father started the Britannia Theater and several other theaters in New Orleans. He reached out to several different national booking companies, and A Flock of Seagulls was available. And I go, can I afford them? Can we afford them? I don't. We made him an offer, and I'm glad they're coming because I grew
How
up.
How old are they now?
Well, Mike Score, the lead singer, there's I think two of the original
members. The
one with
members.
The hair? Yeah, the one, but he has no hair now.
Right.
So that's the one, but he still sounds great, still plays the keyboard, you know, but early 80s.
I love it as a child in the 80s.
Yeah, MTV and those videos from A Flock of Seagulls, all those great bands. But that to me, I like it. I hope other people feel the same way. But ticket sales have been doing very well. And we have a VIP ticket and a regular admission, general admission. We're outselling. We're selling 2-to-1 VIP to regular admission. So I think a lot of people are buying it. It's, you know, they're going to be there for a while and they're going to play, you know, a little over an hour. And we have DJs playing, and everybody's going to be in costume. And if you've not been to Generations Hall, it's a very nice venue. They've been doing a great job planning everything, working with me. And at first few years, I did it at Mardi Gras World, which of course I like. But Generations Hall's kind of got the fit that I'm looking for. You know, I want something a little bit more intimate and warm. And it's got several rooms in there where you can have different music playing at the same time. But if you've not been to a party there, it's a really good venue.
Well, and I just think people ask me all the time about people that aren't here, aren't in New Orleans, about going to Mardi Gras. And I think that your parade is approachable. It's you can certainly join a parade, and lots of people that are not from New Orleans are part of Mardi Gras carnival organizations, but there's a lot of pieces that people don't think about. You mentioned almost in passing, because we would accept this knowing as New Orleanians, when you join a carnival organization, you pay dues, but then you also got to buy throws, and then you got to coordinate that. And the crews will do that for you, but there's a lot of pieces that if you're not from here, you might not even realize. But that idea of buying and the package is there, and you just get on the float, and it's all good to go. Again, if you're flying in and you just want to make a weekend, it's a very done-for-you kind of thing. And I love that you have really captured the essence of all that's good about Carnival and also taken a twist and made it unique, because, of course, you're doing this at Halloween. I love the focus on local products. I love the idea that you have the after party and all those things that sometimes visitors don't even realize happen at Mardi Gras. And so at a very affordable price, people can come in and join that and take part in the whole thing. Or if you kind of want to sample it, if you want to go out and do a history tour, a haunted history tour, and go be a spectator at the parade, maybe you want to go to the after party. You can do that, and you can really piece together something that's unique to what you want to do with your group of people and whatever your interests are. I'm really excited about it. I'm looking forward to it as it continues to grow. And I love the idea that week building out and an even bigger destination.
There's no shortage of things to do in New Orleans. Honestly, as a lifelong resident born here, I think those that are born here are sentenced to stay here for the rest of their lives. And those that come to visit usually end up moving here. I mean, it's a very special city, you know, it really is.
Yeah, I talk to a lot of people. I go out and I'm always out and about, going to different places, discovering new. That's another thing about New Orleans. There's always something new. I've lived here. I'm 52 years old, and I can tell you there's always something new to discover here. And people do. They move in here. They come down on a trip.
Well, I was born and raised and moved away for many years and came home specifically to raise my kids as New Orleanians, so I completely get that.
I lived away for 2 years. That was kind of a mistake. I considering, like, this is kind of, I don't know, this is really home for me, and being a part of doing this parade, and, you know, it's something I'm proud of, and I hope the city's proud of it, and I just want to keep growing it, and I want to make this the premier destination. When people think of Halloween, like they think of Mardi Gras, they think of New Orleans. When you think of Halloween, no matter where you are, I want you to immediately New Orleans to come to mind, and I think in several years, it's going to be there. So
yeah, I think it's well on its way. Again, I want to thank you guys so much, Brian and Sydney, for being on the show. Again, you can check out the Crew of Boo at crewofboo.com. You can follow them on Instagram and on Twitter at Crew of Boo. You can get all the information about Sid's Haunted History Tours over at hauntedhistorytours.com. And again, I'll put a link to the book and put a link to the websites. Again, I just want to thank you guys so much. Hopefully
our
we've
pleasure.
Given our listeners some ideas, and you should make your plans to come on down for Halloween.
Come on down.
Thanks, y'all.
All right, thank you.
Hey, guys, it's Joel Sharpton again. I hope you enjoyed the discussion with Brian and Sydney. As you heard, New Orleans is a fun place to be for Halloween. On the first weekend, there's the parade, the zombie run, and all the other events surrounding the Crew of Boo. If you are into haunted history or voodoo, consider one of Sydney's tours. If you are planning to be in New Orleans for the parade, make sure you check out the Oak Street Po'boy Festival on Sunday, October 23rd, 2017. You might also want to consider the LGBTQ events that weekend in support of Project Lazarus. The next weekend, just before Halloween, is the Voodoo Music Festival. You can also expect lots of costumers and parties along Frenchman Street that weekend and on Halloween itself. A special thank you today for Brian and Sydney for coming on the show. You can find the notes for today's episode at beyondbourbonst.com/47. And if you want to hear more shows like this one, please make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes are available every other Wednesday. And if you're enjoying the show, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as me and you. All right, we're going to get Mark some of that home cooking and patch him back up. Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler. Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.